Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Jay Armaline.
You guys ready for the word? What did we start last week? What was it called? Oh, there we go. That's okay. Good timing, Luke. Resilience. And I really always want you to point to, and I'm going to talk a little more about it today, the birthplace of breakthrough. Last week, we looked at a bunch of stuff. We looked at Joseph, and we're going to continue there. We're going to go to Genesis in a few minutes, but we're going to do other scriptures first. But we're looking at this idea of what resilience is, why it's needed, where we've lost it. And we kind of use the story of both the cinematic story of Rocky, but also the understanding of Sylvester Stallone in his own life, having to have resilience to get Rocky made that thrust him into like just amazingness as far as Hollywood goes. So what I'd like to do is just a quick review so you understand. If we could put up that first slide on resilience. Resilience is the process of being able to adapt well and bounce back quickly in times of stress. I really want you to take note. Resilience is not avoiding things, or resilience is not the fact that you are so tough or so perfect. Maybe that's a better way to say it. So perfect that you never go through things. That's a joke. I don't care how perfect you are. How many know you'll go through things? Jesus Christ was the perfect man, the Son of Man, the Son of God. And how many know that he went through persecution? He was spit upon. He was crucified. Do you think that Jesus, the ultimate, you know, person, needed resilience? Absolutely. You even see a hint of it in the garden when he says, Lord, if you can pass this cup from me, I'd appreciate it that. I'd appreciate it, but not my will be done, but yours. There's a moment of going, I'd rather not go through this. But if I have to, Lord, give me the strength. So the stress may manifest as family or relational problems, serious health problems, problems in the workplace, or even financial problems, just to name a few. Next slide. Resilience is the quality that allows some people to be knocked down by life and come back stronger than ever. Rather than letting failure overcome them and drain their resolve, they find a way to rise from the ashes. That's what we have to remember about resilience. They find a way to rise from the ashes. And how many know right now we're in a society that we have to figure out how to rise from the ashes? Like, the world needs to figure out how to rise from the ashes. The world needs to figure out how to come back together again because we're breaking apart in different places. If you could go to that one slide that's a different color, not the Rocky slides. There you go. Thank you. And this is what I gave you last week. The need for resilience occurs when our current life situation and perceived hopes and dreams for life don't align. Right? So when your life is like, these are my dreams, these are my prophetic words, this is where I'm going, and it seems to go in the opposite direction. Right? So we looked at Joseph. Joseph, who has this dream that he is going to, like, his brothers are going to bow down to him, and then his mom and dad are going to bow down to him, and the next thing you know, he's cast into a pit. That's a different direction than he thought, right? Has anybody ever had that in life where you went, I'm going here, and it goes here. We got one hand in the back. Any other hands? I see that hand, sister. You know, it's life. All of us, you know, how many have ever had a prophetic word on Friday and Monday you're questioning the prophetic word from Friday, right? Like, wait a minute. And so we're looking at this resilience. So in studying resilience, I love to read up and understand the word because it's a word I began to hear about. And I thought, man, I don't even know if I fully comprehend this as I began to think about doing this series. And I picked up a book. It's called Easy Makes Us Weak. That sounds like an exciting book to read. And it is this gentleman who was not a Navy SEAL. That's not his career choice, but kind of always wanted to get, you know, to kind of be a Navy SEAL or at least experience the training. How many have ever heard what they call the week of training? It's called Hell Week. To be a Navy SEAL, if you want to be a Navy SEAL, you have to train and go through 1 week, and it truly is, they call it Hell Week. So this company who was a former Navy SEAL, he thought, man, there is nothing out there that trains people to be Navy SEALs. Like you either get yourself ready and go to this course, or like there's nothing else to do. That's just your only choice. So he thought, what if I made up a civilian type of course that could train people to be a Navy SEAL? And so he did that. So the writer of this book thought, here's my opportunity to see what it's like. And so it's a 50-hour nonstop training course. Nonstop. First part of the book, he goes through all his training. The training alone that he went through made me exhausted. It's just every night. He would train for 2 or 3 hours a night for a whole year to get ready for this after already being in really good shape. He goes on to explain it, and I won't go through details, but it is grueling. Like any moment you think you have a break, they're like, get down, 20 push-ups. Okay, get up. They spray you with hoses. They dunk you in cold pools. They make you run up mountains. It's nonstop for 50 hours. So here's the thing that just cracked me up, but the more I read, I thought, I'm going to give you the key to today's lesson, and then we're going to go study it. This is what his motto was the whole time. They'd throw something else at him. He'd go, awesome, more training. They'd give him something else. He'd go, awesome, more training. Awesome, more training. While everybody else is going, oh my God, I can't do it. I don't think I can make it. He'd be like, awesome, more training. Now, was he really feeling that way? No. I'm sure there's a little voice inside that wanted to go, no. But he was training himself for a whole year. Every time he didn't like an exercise that, because they had exercise they gave him to do every day, he would learn to go, awesome, more training. So today, as we talk about resilience, one of the things I want you to focus on is resilience begins with the mindset. Resilience begins, if you type one thing, if you write one thing, if you memorize one thing, resilience begins with a mindset. And in the New Testament, you will see, we know over and over again, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but renew your mind, right? And part of what I want us to do through these series, and hopefully today, is to go, is there maybe a way that we could look at resilience a little differently? Or we could look at, maybe better put, we can look at trials and tribulations a little differently. Turn to Luke right off the bat. There are some great scriptures we're going to look at today. These are the scriptures that nobody likes to read. Honestly, I would pass over them. I'm like, don't like that one. You know, the ones like, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Whoever wakes up going, woo, another day to fall into trials. More training, you already got it. Another day to fall into trials, another day to be betrayed, woo. Luke 17, verse 1 says, then he said to his disciples, it is impossible that no offenses should come. Aw, Lord, I thought you're so full of love and cuddles. It's impossible that offenses won't come. Why? Because we live in a fallen world. No, we don't even get very far in a Christian world. Let's just be real. Like if we were all to live together, do you think there would be no offenses because we're all Christian? Just think about your family, right? A family unit usually loves each other. But how many know even in a tight family unit, offenses will come? Because misunderstandings come. Things are said wrong. Things are done wrong. Selfishness creeps in because we still have a nature that we're trying to put down to go, no, I don't want to be like that. But offenses will come. Interesting, when I studied the word or looked up the word offenses, the other words that go with it are betrayal. So let's do that. Then he said to his disciples, it's impossible that betrayals won't come. They will come. Trials and temptation. He said, it's impossible that no trials and temptation should come. It's impossible. A trap is another word for it. Great. Great. I'm going to have a trap today. So these are the things where, like, I just would rather not read these because I don't want to know when I wake up that there's going to be a trap or a trial or a betrayal or a temptation, pain, suffering. We just don't like that. But what are we going to learn to say? Awesome, more training. You're going to say that a few times today. I wrote down there, kind of prophetically, if you can go to that main screen, there's it, perfect. Resilience is the birthplace of breakthrough. I've been pondering that. The scripture that I read last week, and let us not grow weary, this is Galatians 6:9. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Another translation says, let's not get tired of doing what is good. I like this. At just the right time. Can we say that together? At just the right time. One more time. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. We will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. How many want to admit, at least I will, that a lot of times our pain comes when we're trying to do good? Have you ever noticed that? When you're trying to maybe go the extra mile for somebody, when you want to bless somebody and somehow it comes back to hurt you or the words spoken were ungrateful and then this offense comes. And this scripture is saying, hey, don't get tired of doing good. Hold on. Hold on. Don't grow weary because at just the right time, you're going to reap a harvest of blessing. So right there is a mindset switch to go, okay, I have to hold on even though I'm doing good. And another translation says, keep doing it. Do more good. You're like, I just got hurt doing good. Like I'm kind of preaching myself here. Like sometimes I'm like, I don't want to do anymore. I don't want to counsel another person. I don't want. And it's like, just hold on. Just hold on. I want to go through the definitions quickly of birthplace and breakthrough. Because I love it. I've been thinking about this. Where does resilience come from? Where does breakthrough come from? Birthplace means the place where someone is born, obviously. But it means where something originated from. And breakthrough is an act or instance of removing or surpassing an obstruction or restriction. I like that. Removing or surpassing an obstruction or restriction. So I put this, you can put this up. I have a slide. It says, resilience is the origin of overcoming and surpassing all obstacles. Do you have that slide? I want to read that together. Resilience is the origin of overcoming and surpassing all obstacles. It's the origin of it, of overcoming and surpassing all obstacles. All right, so without further ado, let's get into some of these great scriptures. You ready? Let's go to, you know what? Sorry, I do have it written down. Galatians, this is the other Galatians scripture. And don't allow yourselves to be weary in planting good seeds. This is another translation. For the season of reaping the wonderful harvest you've planted is coming. Take advantage of every opportunity to be a blessing to others. This is Galatians 6:9-10. This is the Passion Translation. Take advantage of every opportunity to be a blessing to others. That's a good word. Take advantage of every opportunity to be a blessing to others. All right, these are the scriptures. Here we go. Turn to Romans 5 for me, please. We will go back to Joseph in a second, but I want you to follow a thread with me because resilience is the origin of overcoming all surpassing all obstacles. And all of us want to have breakthrough. We all want to recover. We all want to be stronger. And the very things that I never wanted to look at are the very keys that we need for life. I'll say that again. The very thing that I never wanted to look at, the very scriptures, because I had a mindset when I read them. Anytime in my past, I read the word trial or tribulations, I immediately went to end times. My brain was trained to think that tribulation meant end times. And so those are things I'm like, well, I read the series. I don't really want to read any more of that. I don't want to read that line again. I don't want to see tribulation. I don't want to be in tribulation. Little did I know, that's not even what they're talking about. They're not talking about end times. They're talking about life like you and I live every day. Every day when you do some good for somebody and they slap you in the face. Every day when you don't expect a family problem and it happens. A financial problem and it happens. Every day, this is what we get to look at. So we're hopefully going to read these differently. Romans 5, verse 3. If you're there, say there. Awesome. If you have a phone, great to look these scriptures up. Don't just take my word for it. New King James Version. I'm going to read them from multiple translations because they give a little view of each one. It says, and not only that, love this, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. We glory in tribulations. When is the last time you gloried in tribulation? Yeah, Zach's shaking his head. I don't think that was what was on your mind, Zach. It's usually not on my mind. The worst news you get and you go, I'm going to glory in this tribulation. Praise the Lord. It's not our first response. It's not our first response at all. And that's normal. But if it's not our fourth response, because I'm going to give us time to process. If we're not at our fourth and fifth response and we're not learning to go, okay, here we go, then this is what we need to learn. And I think all of us here are in a place to have to go, okay, it's been dealt. What are we going to do now? Let me give you another translation. I like this. This is the New Living Translation. It says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. So what did it just do? It took the word tribulation, which if you look it up, it has these words as well in it. Problems and trials. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us and develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with love. That is such a packed scripture. Let's read it one more time. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. The question is why? That's what I would ask. Why? Why am I going to rejoice? Why am I going to glory? Why am I going to have joy? For we know that they help us develop endurance. Now we all know, if you've ever watched any types of sports, we all know that an athlete does not walk from playing video games and ever exercising onto a field and just play his sport without ever doing the work. I think of soccer, World Cup just came recently. I look at those guys and how they run nonstop. Have you ever watched soccer players? They run, what is it? It's like the periods are ridiculous too. Two 45 minute periods, running nonstop. That's endurance. That's endurance. So how do they train for that? Well, every day they put a little more. They run a little farther. They run a little farther. They practice a little longer to the point where they get to these places of athletic ability. They don't have to think about it anymore. They have such incredible endurance. What does it look like in a gym? Well, first day you go to work out, you put the, hopefully not a lot on the bar, but you go to do a bench press, you do a bench press. And you can do, let's say you can do 90 pounds. And you're like, woohoo, 90 pounds, my goal's 200. Well, what are you going to do? Well, you better have muscle endurance. You have to have strength. So what do? You overload the bar a little more. You do a little, you know, the next day you do maybe two more, three more. And little by little, you keep doing more and then you overload the bar and you do more and then you overload. You keep overloading your muscle to build endurance. So what we have to look at, and we talked last week, let me bounce back to last week. We talked about Joseph the dreamer that gets this dream about everybody bowing down. Now, in his mind, he had no concept of what it's going to look like or what he's going to do, but God did, right? What was Joseph's ultimate endpoint? He was the second in command over Egypt, right? You guys, just give me some feedback here. He was second over everything in Egypt. So basically, although Pharaoh made final decisions, Joseph is the one that made everything happen. Joseph was the one running the country. So here's a little boy in a desert who has a dream about these sheaves bowing down to him, which were brothers, and mom and dad bowing down to him, the sun, the moon. This is his dream, known concept of Egypt. God has to take him from here all the way over to here. How's he going to do it? People have debated for a long time. Was Joseph supposed to end up there? I don't know. All I know is that God wanted him from here to over here. It's very possible Joseph's big mouth got him into a lot of trouble and ended up in a bit of a different direction. I don't know. We'll find out when we get to heaven. But what I do know is every moment God's like, I have to get that boy ready. Turn to your neighbors said, God's always getting you ready. Somehow we understand these things when it comes to weightlifting and running. We're like, I have to do more to get farther. But in life, we're like, I want it easy to get farther. Come on, I do. The big thing right now, if you haven't been following sports and different things, or even just endurance, how many have known that they do ice baths now? Devilish things. I've never done one. I'm really not interested in doing one. I really would rather be in a hot tub. Right? Now, if you study the difference out, the hot tub will never give you what they are finding the ice endurance will. I'm not really concerned about that currently in my life. But here's the thing. If I really wanted the effects of what that's going to give me, I'd have to do it. I can't be in a hot tub wanting the ice bath effect, right? So a lot of times we get prophetic words and we want to make them happen, but God's like, hold up. I got to train you. And then all these things come our way. Now, I'm not saying every one of them is from God by any means. What I am saying, he's like, you're going to have opportunities to grow so I can get you to where you need to be. And if you want to avoid those opportunities, well, we'll go around that mountain again. Because if you want to have this happen in your life, these things must take place. I don't like that. Just being honest. I don't wake up and go, gosh, I'm so thankful for all that pain that happened. Thank you, Lord. But my mindset has to change to go, Lord, I know you didn't want that pain to happen, but you're using it for my growth. Awesome. More training. Now, I hope you learn not to say that to the person that just hurt you. I'm leaving your church. Awesome. More training. No, I'm not going to do that. The point is, when these struggles come, what am I going to do with them? So let's go back to Romans. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. Listen, and endurance develops strength of character. Have you ever like watched a war movie? Maybe I'm just gonna talk to guys for a second, maybe the ladies too, but have you, okay. Jason Bourne. Let's just go with Jason Bourne. Anybody ever watch Jason Bourne series? Have you ever wanted to kind of like be him? Only me. Wow. Thank you, Claude. I'm watching him going, geez, I wish I could drive a car like that, navigate like that, fight like that, talk languages like that. Like he just had it all. Well, what did he have to do? Years of training. Years and years of training. We look at these people that come back from war and we go, look at their character, look at their endurance. I would love to be like that, but we never want to go through what they went through. We never want to go through what they went through. And sometimes we want to be something, but we don't want to go through the training. And this hope will strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. Isn't that good? Hope does not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us. Let me read it out of one more translation. Two more translations, actually. This is the Passion Translation. But that's not all. Even in times of trouble, we have joyful confidence, knowing that pressures will develop in us Patient endurance. Those are two words I don't put together. I'm patiently enduring. Remember your word? White horse? We were just married. We go to a youth conference. And this is not one of the words you want to get. God says, through Pastor Jeff, wasn't it? I'm going to give you grace for long suffering. You just kind of sit there like, Somebody else, please. I'm going to give you grace for long suffering, but then it had to do with being a mom, didn't it? Little did we know we'd go through several years of miscarriages, not having children. Grace for long suffering. But hope comes, right? Because now we have three kids that are now old, getting old. They're almost adults, for Pete's sake. Well, it depends on their behavior for the day. Sorry, Erin. She's the only one that's here. But that's not all. Even in times of trouble, we have joyful confidence, knowing that our pressures will develop in us patient endurance. And patient endurance will refine our character. And proven character leads us back to hope. And this hope is not a disappointing fantasy. I love how he writes this. This hope is not a disappointing fantasy. But are you getting the progression? We want hope, but often God's like, yeah, but I got to start with endurance. And hope is what keeps you going in the game. But we start with endurance. And then we have endurance, and we had different words for it. It was endurance develops, or patient endurance. The next translation we're going to get is passionate patience. Passionate patience. Next time, Rod, when Karen's really upset, just go, honey, you need passionate patience. See how well that goes over. But there's this progression of going, we need endurance, which leads to character, which leads to hope. We need endurance that leads to character, leads to hope. And as a society, I'm telling you right now, you and I both know, we like to avoid all the other stuff. We just want to go for the good stuff, right? Who would not want to have cake before the meal? But as a society, that's where, and if you do that every day of your life, let's use that as an analogy. If you have the cake, if you have the dessert every day of your life before you eat your meal, you probably won't eat your meal anyway afterwards. What are you going to develop? Illness. Exactly. Exactly. You're going to develop illness. You're going to develop so many health problems, it's ridiculous. Why? Because you want the good thing before all the, you want the bad thing before all the good thing. It's a kind of a weird analogy because we're talking about good things. But you want, you're right, you want the only the good thing first, which is really a bad thing because it's not going to give you anything you need. That making sense? It kind of did in my brain. One more translation because this is the Message translation. Each one has a unique example of it. There's more to come, he starts with. We continue to shout our praise even when we're hemmed in with troubles. We shout our praise even when we're hemmed in with troubles. One of the things, church, and we got there today. Great job leading and the worship team today. Wonderful. Really wonderful. And you know, we started with, you are good. And there's this line in the bridge, in the sun or the rain, right? In the sun or the rain. We have to learn to become people to shout praises in the sun or the rain. The good times, the bad times. Why? Because A, focusing on your problem is never going to help you. The one that you want to focus on is God, and shouting praise to him is going, hey, you're in charge. You're like, you are the ultimate God, and I have all these problems, but I'm going to focus on you because you're going to strengthen me. But a lot of times we come to church and we get caught up in our sorrow. And that's one of the reasons why we have to learn to go, you know what? I put sorrow aside. I'll decide if I'm going to pick you up after. Right now, I'm going to put on my praise. But you don't have any reason to praise. I do. Because if I die, just like that's the lowest common denominator. If I die, I go to heaven. I'd be with Jesus. And he's going to be with me tomorrow when I have to pass through these waters. So he is worthy of praise. So I'm going to shout my praise. I love it. We continue to shout our praise when we're hemmed in with troubles. Because we know how troubles can develop passionate patience in us. What a line. And how that patience, in turn, love the word, forges the tempered steel of virtue. Very poetic. Patience, in turn, forges the tempered steel of virtue, keeping us alert for whatever God will do next. In alert expectancy such as this, we We were never left feeling shortchanged. Quite the contrary, we can't round up enough containers to hold everything God generously pours into us, into our lives through the Holy Spirit. Did you get that line? We can't get enough containers to hold everything that God generously pours into our lives through the Holy Spirit. Like, you could live off of that scripture. Going, oh, I have a trial, but I know God is still walking with me. And Holy Spirit is here. And I can't round up enough containers to fill up how much he's going to pour out. That's just, that's hope right there. Oh, turn to James. Let's do another scripture. James 1. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. This just keeps getting good. Keeps getting better. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And then it says down below, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Are you noticing these lines that keep coming, or the similarities? So one was Romans, another is James, and he keeps going back to, listen, I'm training you. Awesome, more training, right? But he keeps going, listen, I'm trying to get you to become a perfect man. I'm trying to make you fit for what you're called for. It's called training. And he takes us through various trials. Another word for that is temptations. He takes us through opportunity to even be tempted to take the easy way out. Sorrows is another word. Betrayals, we talked about that. This is the New Living Translation. Do I have that in a slide? I thought I did. That's the Passion Translation. Can you put up the other one quickly and we'll read? That might be the message. Do I have another one or maybe not? So let's go. This is New Living and then we'll go back to the Passion. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know, you guys are going to have a hard time telling your friends problems now. They're going to be like, oh my gosh, all this happened. You're like, that's so awesome. Oh yeah, you missed that service. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance, there's the word again, has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. Remember those vats of oil, you know, getting the containers, not of oil, getting the containers because he's going to pour out? Well, now he's referring it to as wisdom. So it's like, okay, I'm getting all my containers ready because I'm in a jam here and it's not fun, but I'm counting it all joy because he's teaching me something. And so I look to him and go, okay, Lord, pour out through your Holy Spirit wisdom. I need it. And you don't even have to feel bad for asking for it. He's like, you want a little bit? I want it all. Good, that's what I was hoping you'd say. Passion Translation, you can put that one up. We'll read it. My fellow believers, when it seems as though you are facing nothing but difficulties, see it as an invaluable opportunity to experience the greatest joy that you can. That's a mindset change. When it seems as though you're facing nothing but difficulties, see it as an invaluable opportunity to experience the greatest joy that you can. For you know that when your faith is tested, it stirs up in you the power of endurance. And then as your endurance grows even stronger, it will release perfection into every part of your being until there is nothing missing and nothing lacking. We are a people that, unfortunately, one of the side effects of having such a great world that we live in Canada is that we forget this process. But God never does. Because some of our prophetic words that if we've read them and we see these great things that need to happen, I guarantee it's not tomorrow. Because I've learned it's not. I've learned that it's not next week. And here's what I've learned. I've learned that if I try to make it happen, I have to sustain that. If God makes it happen, he has to sustain it. Like this church, we often, as we pray as staff, like, Lord, you birthed this. If I have to come up with every trick, every performance, if I have to do the jig to keep you, I have to keep you. And I'm going to get exhausted. If it's the light show, if it's the smoke, if it's the songs, eventually you're going to be like, well, I want to move on. But if it's God that birthed this church and we submit to him, we're like, God, you got to continue to do the work. And I'm amazed. I get the reports of finances. I'm like, God, I don't even know how you've done it over 3 years. Pastor Gary went through her season with that, where we even hired Pastor Rod in it. We're like, it doesn't seem like one and one is adding to two. It seems like one plus one is adding to five. I don't get it, but thank you, Lord. But the pressure in the season, when you go through something like that is incredible. But he's saying, but the pressure is what I'm using to create who you need to be. So what do we say? Awesome, more training. Let's do one version, one more. This is the message. Consider it, I love it, a sheer gift. Like, what would you do if you got that gift? You like knock the person out if, but you're like, consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come from all sides. Now, listen, please, don't challenge people and say, well, I'm just giving you a gift. That is not right. I would hope nobody would ever want to do that, you know? I'm going to drive by Steve's house, break his windows, throw eggs at his house, and go, hey, brother, it's a sheer gift. Count it all joy. Thanks, Jay. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open. Whew. Your faith life is forced into the open, and it shows its true colors. Come on, you don't need faith. You don't need endurance when you're in a hot tub, right? You need faith and endurance, and in this case, faith life, when you're going through that obstacle, the ice bath. You need endurance at that point. So what I'm saying in life, you don't need that faith until you have an obstacle. And you're like, okay, my faith has to show up now. It was easy over here. I didn't have to have a lot of faith, but now I do. It's forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. Man, like, doesn't that spin it going, oh, maybe this is actually a good thing? Now, pressure and trials come in so many different ways. Sometimes they're big, you know. We always lift up Zach. That's trial. And we have different ones. We have Susan Ferris's husband going through things. And by the way, I don't believe God gives that to them. But I always believe God will use whatever he has to. Because he's like, well, you know, this is thrown at him, so I'm going to create something better for him. And me, Ray. So this is the moment you go, I got to let my faith show up. I got to let myself get bigger in this moment. And every obstacle gives you ability. It's like you're working out in the gym, and every obstacle you get, your faith gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's usually after the fact you can go, you know what? I didn't like going through that, but I'm so thankful I did because of what I learned, how I grew, all that. I did not like going through what I did 4 years ago, but I learned so much through it. I'm not the same person anymore. So I can count it all joy. Now, we want to get to the place where we can count it all joy before the end of it to go, I know what God's doing here. I don't like it, but I know what he's doing. You don't have to turn there. Let's just continue. We know this, probably know the story of Joseph really well. We left off last week. They threw him in a pit. His loving brothers. He was developing this endurance even before all that because they mocked him, they hated him. They got to a point, they threw him in a pit. If we follow the story along, we know the caravan comes by. They sell him into slavery. We're going to talk about this in later weeks, but one of the things, today we're talking about the ability to change our mindset, to go, awesome, more training, this is God. But one of the things we have to begin to train our mind with is God still loves me in the midst of this trial. I used to think anytime a bad thing happened to me, God must be angry with me. It's wrong. So Joseph's now being sold into slavery. He's enduring. He has to endure. He gets to Potiphar's house. And what's crazy is, and this is what I want you to learn with prophetic words, Joseph throughout the journey kept doing what he knew to do. Faithful. I'm going to be faithful wherever I'm at. Not only that, he was a man of excellence. No matter what I do, I'm going to do with excellence. So he gets to Potiphar's house and he's faithful and he's excellent. And what happens? Potiphar goes, you're amazing. Like, you're so amazing, to the point where he says, God must be with you, which is an interesting line because they're in Egypt and they don't believe in the same God. Anyway, he says, God must be with you so you can take, you can run my house. So yet he's not at the place where he thinks, he doesn't even know honestly where he's going. There's nothing in his mind that goes, one day I'm going to be in Egypt. All he knows is that God's faithful. I'm here right now. I'm going to be faithful with what I have. I'm going to be faithful with what I'm doing. So he does it. Then comes another opportunity for joy. Count it all joy when Potiphar's wife tries to seduce you. Why? Because it says it's temptation is another word for it. He's being challenged in that moment. What are you going to do with this moment? If you know the story, Potiphar's wife wants to have sex with him. He says, no, no, no. One day he comes in, nobody else is around. She grabs him, he flees, but she takes his cloak and he runs out. And so basically she has her cloak and she makes up a story about how he came in to rape me. Joseph's like, I didn't do that. But nobody's going to believe him because he's a slave. So Potiphar has to throw him in prison. What is he learning? Endurance, patience, passionate patience, endurance, testing of character. All the things we read, this is what Joseph is going through. Gets into prison. What does he do? Well, he could lie down and lay on the floor and go, God is not with me. Obviously, God does not love me. God is not for me. Look at my life. This is terrible. He doesn't do that. One of the authors I'm reading, he says, all we have to do is learn to flick a switch and turn the light on and take our pain and our sorrow and go, I'm going to let this fuel me for the next. Flick a switch. And I think that's what Joseph did, because Joseph gets into prison. What does he do? He's faithful. He does everything that he knows to do with excellence. He's obviously kind and loving, because next thing you know, the warden's like, man, God must be with you. Everything you touch is good. I'm going to put you in charge of everything in the prison. So he goes from being a little boy, persecuted, not liked, to now Potiphar's house, running that house, to now the prison, running the prison. He's running the prison because he was faithful and refused every hit that he got, like Rocky. That's our analogy. Every hit that he got to the floor and he decided, what do I do while I'm down here? Do I get up or do I wallow? Do I wallow in self-pity? How many else like to wallow in self-pity? Every once in a while, I find myself there. This shouldn't be happening. Why is this happening? Like Joseph, we have to learn to go, no, I'm going to let that fuel me. So as the story goes, as we know, opportunity after opportunity after opportunity, until one day he stands before Pharaoh and made second in all of the kingdom. Now, what was God doing the whole time? And tests and challenges come from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. Do you think that Joseph needed that to run an entire kingdom that he was not even a part of? He was not Egyptian. He had to run a kingdom with wisdom, and every moment God was teaching him along the way to have that character to endure. So what I'd like to learn to do for all of us, awesome, more training. They may become a phrase for us, and they're going to be like, oh, great. So when I yell out of my office, awesome, more training, they're going to, what happened now? The back wall just got ripped off from the windstorm. Awesome, more training. Our back wall to get ripped off. You'll see pieces of it as you drive around. Found one in the driveway today. All those moments I have to learn to go, what am I going to do right now? My kids are going to hate it too. Stuck in the airport over Christmas. Awesome, guys. More training. Shut up, Dad. It's already happening. I walked into Caleb's room. Hey, buddy, that's resilience, Dad. Stop. I have to listen to you at church already. Wait a minute. Don't you have to listen to me at home too? Why don't you stand? People start running the other way when I come. I don't want any more training. What I hope you got from today is that it all begins with our mindset. If we look at a trial and tribulation like God's trying to kill us, first of all, he's not. He's not angry with you. He's most likely not even the author of that. But he is the one behind going, whoo, what can we do with this though? How can I build you even a little more towards your fullness and perfection through this? I don't want it though. I know, son, but we got buckets of love and wisdom coming your way. Buckets, not even enough to contain all the love and wisdom he's gonna pour out. That's what we need to keep focused on. So if you're in a trial right now, which probably all of us have something, just remind yourself, okay, what can God do right now? And if you find yourself on the floor right now because you have been beaten down, two things. Change your mindset and go, I can do this. I want to let this fuel me. I'm going to get off the ground and let this fuel me, and call somebody and say, pray with me because I'm in a battle. Father God, I thank you. Lord, I thank you that you send things our way, not to hurt us, not to kill us, to train us. And Lord, when the enemy writes things into our lives to try to kill us and take us out, I thank you that you are there saying, no, we're going to fight this. And in the process, it's more training for us to become all that we're called to be. So Lord, I pray that you would help us in these moments to change our mindset, to change what we're going through or how we think about what we're going through. Lord, I ask for anybody that is going through trials that you would begin to pour out the wisdom. You would begin to pour out the grace and the love that they desperately need to get through the trial. But in the end, we thank you that it is our good that you are changing us into perfection. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.